All right, let's turn to our Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, starting with verse 14. I'll read the white, you read the yellow. Stand therefore, having girded your waist in truth, having shod your feet, above all, taking the shield of faith, the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay, the helmet of salvation. You know, verse 17 should read this, and take for yourself, or to yourself, the helmet of salvation. Take to yourself, turn with me to John 1:9, not 1 John 1:9, but John 1:9, and while you're there, I'm going to just talk a little bit here. When it says take the helmet of salvation, we have in the Greek verbs, and they have active, middle, and passive voices. Now, we don't have that in English. In Greek, it's all contained in the word, and in English, you have to supply all the words, okay? So let me just familiarize you, and then you can go out of here saying, I learned Greek today, okay? Because Steve did nothing but talk in Greek, okay? All right, active voice, I do it. Middle voice, I do it to myself. Passive voice, it's done to me. Okay, now the reason I want to show this to you, because Paul uses quite a few different voices a lot of times, like when it says, be filled with the Spirit, remember when we were going over that? That's a passive. It's done to us. When we do what God tells us to do, he fills us with his Spirit. So active, I do it, middle, I do it to myself, passive voice, it's done to me. And here we have taken up the helmet, it's in the middle voice. So could you kind of frame the sentence? Take up for yourself, right? Take up to yourself, okay, the helmet of salvation. And the reason I'm saying that is that you have to pick up, because salvation is one thing you have to make the choice on, right? These other things come once you know Christ, but you have got to make the decision to come to Christ. And so he used that middle voice. Do it to yourself. Take up the helmet of salvation. And, excuse me, sorry. And it's rightly so, because it is our responsibility. And it's your responsibility to decide yes or no to the gospel. All right. And it's a head issue. Here's the thing. A lot of people think, well, if I get saved, I'll feel all this emotion rush, right? And all this will come down. And sometimes it's that way, because you feel such a relief. I know when I trusted Christ, I was such a mess. I was down in California in the Bay Area. I was trying to get up to Haight-Ashbury, which probably means nothing to most of you anymore. But I was going to get up there in the hippie movement. And when I came to Christ, man, I felt like God was pouring honey over me or something. It was so, because I was so far away from God. But then others don't feel anything hardly. They just understand and make the decision, and maybe emotions come afterwards. So it's not about emotion. It's about a decision in your mind saying, yes, I will follow God. He will be my Lord, and so on. So it's a head issue, and if there is ever an important issue in this life, I can't think of a bigger one. Can you? It's the difference between heaven and hell. It's the difference between having God in your life as you live this life and God not being in your life. You're going to have trouble either way. I know that when I was young, the preachers used to say, once you trust Jesus Christ, it was like you weren't going to have any problems anymore. I think the guy went to the mental institution about 2 years later. Right? Christians, do you have trouble in your life? Yeah. What? Yeah. Yeah. Okay, yeah. And so for you that may have not made that decision, hear that, that we're going to have trouble in this life. That's just the way the life is. But you have a couple things on your side. You have God, and you have a future inheritance in heaven. Amen? Yeah, I can't wait. All right, so we have to decide for ourselves. Now, here's what God says about this in John 12, 32, and I'll get to John 1 here pretty quick. 12, 32, and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, and was he lifted up from the earth? Yes, that's right. It was right around Pentecost. He took off for heaven, and he sits at the right hand of the Father. And I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw, and I love this word, it means drag. I love that. I will drag all peoples to myself. And so God's out there trying to get people to come. Okay, and he's even given the burden to us in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that he's given us the ministry of reconciliation so we can drag people into the kingdom. Amen? And so the Father draws everyone who comes to him. And now let's go over to John chapter 1 verse, we're going to start with verse 8. He, John the Baptist, was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. Then we get to verse 9. It says that in most of your translations. If you're using New King James, you may have other translation. It should be he, meaning Jesus. He was the true light, which gives light to some men coming into the world. No, what does it say? Every man coming into the world. There's a lot of people in theology think that God only picks some to be saved and others not. Okay. In fact, I was raised in that, and my pastor used to say, "Christ died only for the elect." And I thought, "Wow, that's amazing." And then after I got to thinking, I thought, "That's crazy." Okay, Christ died for everyone. Isn't that what the Scripture says? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever—that means everybody. Okay. All right. So. Every African, every Muslim, every Buddhist, every atheist, every Satanist, every street person, every schizophrenic, every mentally impaired person, every last person on the earth is given light to respond to salvation. Everyone has an equal chance. Now, the reason I'm saying this, and I'm going to hit on this a little bit, is because we kind of have this thought, well, wait a minute, what about the Aborigines that haven't heard Christ, right? And so how are they supposed to come? Turn to Romans chapter 2, verse 14 with me, and I'm going to go over that, okay? So Steve, how can people get saved when they haven't heard about Jesus Christ? So Paul's talking in Romans 2 to his fellow Jews, and he talks about the Gentiles. Now, for some of you who aren't used to the word Gentiles, that means if you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile, okay? You're part of the nations, the rest of the world, okay? And they have an ability to be saved by what little laws are written on their heart, okay? And this is a really unique passage, okay? Starting with verse 14. For when the Gentiles, the non-Jews, who do not have the law, because all other people outside the Jews don't have the law, right? Are you awake this morning? Are you thinking about the barbecue too much? Okay, all right. Okay, so for when the Gentiles who do not have the law, Moses' law, by nature do the things in the law, these, although not having the law, are a law to themselves. Now let's think about that for a minute. Does pretty much everybody on the earth think it's wrong to kill somebody? Yeah. Do they think it's wrong to steal? Yeah. Do they think it's wrong to lie? Yeah. So whether they're a Christian or not a Christian, we have those written in our laws in every government, okay? Because it's been written on their heart, okay? So it says, who shows the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness that between themselves, their thoughts accusing or else excusing them in the day when God will judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel. Now, when Paul writes that, is he arrogant, my gospel? No. What's his gospel? Huh? The Bible, yeah. But what is his specific message to the Gentile? Saved by grace, right? Through faith. Alone, okay? All right, so let me just read a couple of these. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So when they have the law written in their heart, it isn't that they're getting saved by works. They're going to be judged by faith just like us. And that's from Adam all the way through. If you're a non-Jew, you will be saved by faith alone. Our message that we give every Sunday after the service, that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. So, okay, Steve, most of us have responded to that gospel. Most of us have said, yes, Jesus is Lord, and he rose from the dead, and now we know that we are headed for heaven, and we know that we are Christ. So let's talk about what this really means. I want to drive this point home a little bit this morning. We have put on the helmet of salvation, which means we wear our salvation, right? And it becomes part of our protection, is part of our foundation. Not that we can see it or visibly, that kind of thing. So what makes you know that Christ is Lord of your life? What is it that makes you know that? What does it look like? Is it that maybe you go to church and maybe you even tell people about your church and get them to come, especially maybe on a barbecue day? Does that make him Lord? That you have gone to a Bible study or maybe even have taken seminary classes, does that make him Lord? That you have a relationship with the pastor or someone pretty high up in the church, or maybe that you've made a genuine commitment to God at one point in your life and you prayed a certain prayer, does that make him Lord? No. That you read your Bible. And you may even read it every day. Or you read a devotional before you go to work or you come home or before you go to bed. Does that make him Lord? No, not really. So what does make him Lord? Well, let's define it. The word for Lord, Lord in the original means simply to be Lord or Sir. It's a title. Now, I got a definition here that I put up out of definition.com and Wikipedia because I thought, oh, it'd be good to hear the world's view of what Lord is, okay? A title given to a deity. A person who has authority, control, or power over others, meaning you, right? A master, chief, or ruler. One who has ownership of slaves, and I added employees, okay? Because we just don't have that in our culture anymore. Okay? So that's what Lord means. A person who has authority, control, and power over you. When we put on the helmet of salvation, what are we really saying then? You know, I thought about football this week. I watched the game on Thursday and watched them play and that kind of thing, and it was interesting. I'm kind of a fair weather friend. If it's raining and dark out, I'll watch it. If it's night, if it's during the day, probably not, you know, unless they're doing well, right? But, you know, it used to be that we had the Pro Bowl. Do you remember that years ago we had Pro Bowl? Now I think it's on cable, isn't it? Because I haven't seen it in years. But I was always confused in the Pro Bowl because each of the players wore their particular helmet. If you were the Bronco, you wore your helmet. Broncos, you wore helmet or a Bronco uniform. If you're Green Bay, you had your Green Bay. So I found this picture here and I showed it. See all the different uniforms? Okay, now, let's say for a minute that you're the quarterback. And so they go, and everybody's running around, and you see this Colts helmet, and you think, okay, he must be a receiver, right? That's why so many interceptions are thrown during the Pro Bowl, because somebody will act like they're on the other team. Especially if they have a lighter uniform and it's the white uniform or something like that, and they'll throw it to them and they'll run and run it down. Okay, and so there's a real sense of confusion Because in this, they don't have a unification. They don't have all the same helmet and all the same jerseys, right? Now, it seems a little funny to use that as an example, but you get it. And they're playing together, and they're trying hard, but it's confusing because there's not a unity. In fact, if you think about it, up until the Pro Bowl, they're enemies. They're even playing together, and they're all enemies. And now they're skipping and jumping and high-fiving them, and they're all buddies helping each other. But here's the thought. Isn't this a good picture of warfare in our life? We get confused. We see the wrong helmets and jerseys, and we talk about this warfare, and Paul explains it, and that's why we have to look at it here, because when the warfare starts, we see different helmets, we see different loyalties. Some run from from warfare. Others give in to the enemy right away, and others simply hide and pretend nothing's happening. But when we put on the helmet, we have decided whose team we're on. Do you realize that? And it's Jesus Christ, Lord. Right? It's not Harvest Fellowship 930. He's our master. Football's one thing, and the results are totally meaningless, isn't it? But spiritual warfare is another thing. It's an ownership issue. And we talk like it might be optional. Like, I'll follow God, you know, I'll follow most of his word. Some of it's pretty tough, and I don't want to follow that. We get into certain politically correct issues, and all of a sudden, well, I don't know if I believe that part. Or I believe in God if he's behind me and I'm okay. I'm a Christian if I really like what's happening to me. If not, I'll find some other religions and mix them in to make it work for me. If my problems are solved, okay. I'm trying to figure this out on my own. I'm a Christian, but wait a minute, I'm not going to be fanatical. And as you listen, you might think like me, if you saw helmets like that, you'd be thinking, well, wait a minute, whose side are you really on? Right? So the question this morning is, whose side are you really on? Are you on Lord's side? When we confess Jesus Christ as Lord, we immediately put on this helmet of salvation. And Jesus Christ is the head of our team, and he is our Lord, and that helmet represents ownership by God. Now, Peyton Manning, the Bronco quarterback, was signed with John Elway. It was a really big deal. He'd been with the Colts all of his career. And he came over, and we all thinking, man, I wonder how he's going to do. He's pretty old. Do you remember, though, you who at least watch a little bit of that? And he signed the contract. And after signing the contract, Peyton retired his Cincinnati Colts uniform, and he put on the Bronco uniform and began to play the Broncos without question. He was now the Broncos quarterback. And he took orders for John Elway. He took orders from the coaches. And never once did you ever hear him say, you know what, I'm not liking the Broncos real well. I think I'll go back to the Colts. Right? Who ever heard that? It even sounds stupid because we see that kind of ownership, that kind of commitment to a team when it's a quarterback. And yet, when it comes to us, do we put on the helmet of salvation? Jesus Christ is Lord, and Jesus Christ owns us. Do you hear me this morning? Do you really? We came into the ownership of Jesus Christ. He is the owner, not me, but of me. And you came in to the ownership of Jesus Christ, and it's not you, but of you too. And once the helmet goes on, it never comes back off. But we sure can act like it at times. And we act and have the choice to whether to follow him, follow the manual, the playbook, so to speak, and decide whether we're going to participate in this warfare or not. And all around us, we see injuries, don't we? Man, I'm telling you, especially as a pastor and some of you who may lead ministries and that kind of thing, man, do you see injuries? And you know, when I was watching that Thursday game, I was watching some of those players get injured and they're on the field and everything stops. You know, even one of the refs got knocked half out, right? And had to go off the field. And we look at that because when we forget that Jesus Christ is Lord and we make bad choices, we get injured. And we have to be taken off the playing field and heal up. And it's a hard deal. And we miss part of the game. We're not in the game. And I want to be in the game, don't you? So what's the contract results? Utter peace with God. Not utter peace with our circumstances, but utter peace with God. And a heaven. Amen? And how do we respond to the contract? Jesus is Lord. Jesus is boss. Jesus is master. Jesus is Lord. It's not compromisable, that if there's such a word. Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. Do you hear me? Jesus is Lord. No one else gives us orders. Jesus is Lord. And many of you have decided with conviction whose side you're on. And man, do I love you. I love you all. But boy, when I meet someone that has a commitment to Jesus Christ, and you do that too, isn't it great to see? What a witness to us. Someone will walk into my life, like I met with a bunch of pastors for Billy Graham Evangelistic Association, Bill, and I went down there and met with them. Those people had commitment. And it was fun to shake their hand, and I was talking to one pastor, and I said, what do you do? Where's your church? What do you do? And he says, well, I live on the streets, and my whole ministry is to try to get some of these people off welfare and into church. And I said, instead of shaking your hand, can I hug you? Don't you feel that way? It was just like, oh, man, he was so attractive at that moment. I just wanted to hug him because he had such a commitment to Jesus Christ that he's willing to live on the street. Man. Now, that's commitment. Who owns you? These are questions I want to ask your heart. Who's your boss? Who has given all these things to you in your Christian life? Whose side are you on this morning? Are you committed? Are you fighting? Are you doing what you're learning here? And so whatsoever we do, do it heartily as to Lord and not to men, knowing that from the Lord you will receive the reward of inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. Isn't that our life verse? Are you in? Recognize that you have the helmet is protecting the main part of your body, really. And your thinking and everything, fend off the dark. Game's on. Suit up. Father, we come this morning. Thank you so much, O Lord, for given us these different pieces of armor as you sat in your little semi-jail in Rome, and as these centurions came in and locked themselves up to you so you couldn't run as if you would. Lord, we just thank you so much that you raised up Paul, and he looked at these things, and he saw the armor, and he wrote, your Holy Spirit put into Paul's mind to write on that. Lord, this morning, we thank you for the helmet of salvation. It's on, period. Lord, we just need to remember it says Jesus Christ is Lord on that helmet. While your heads are bowed, maybe you came this morning and you don't have a relationship with God. Let me talk to you for a second and I'll tell you how to put that helmet on. Bible says that we've all sinned and fallen short of God's standard, and that the wages of that sin is death. But it goes on to say, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans 10:9, it tells us exactly, and I read it a little bit earlier, and it is that if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. You will be saved. So, my friend, if I'm talking to you this morning, and this is the day that you want to make Jesus Christ Lord in your life, I'm going to say a prayer, and you can just whisper this prayer along with me. And the prayer goes like this. Dear Lord Jesus, I know I'm a sinner. I ask you to forgive me of my sin, come into my heart and life, and be the Lord of my life. I believe that you rose from the dead, just as the verse said, and because of that, you rose from the dead for me too. So come into my life and save me today. And may I live for you till that day. Our heads are still bowed. If you prayed that prayer and you meant it, will you raise your hand up, put it back down, let God know you meant business this morning. Thank you. Anybody else? Anybody else this morning? Father, we just thank you so much that we can voice some words, raise a hand, say it with our mouth, that you're Lord and that you rose from the dead. And then your Holy Spirit enters into us. And we become identified with you. And we're no longer identified with the world. And Lord, may we act on that. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.